On the next Transformed, Vyacheslav Demian types copies of Christian literature in a closet hidden from his neighbors. And his family endures persecution for their faith in the former Soviet Union.
They promised that in a couple of years you will see last priest. So they intended to destroy and, you know, to erase faith in God completely.
That's on the next Transformed. Welcome to Transformed, a program where we share testimonies of God's amazing love and transforming power. In today's show, Pastor Chris Holland shares the story of a monk who heard the words, "The just shall live by faith," on the steps of a Catholic shrine. Find out how Martin Luther's work made him an enemy of the church, yet his faith transformed Christianity. Vyacheslav Demian and his family also experienced persecution for their Christian faith while living in the former Soviet Union, a country ruled by dictators and agents of the state security agency, the KGB. Take a listen, just as Vyacheslav's family visits Romania but encounters trouble at the border.
Finally, we had a chance to go out of the country in Romania. Romania was a socialistic country too.
Right.
So we got a permission to go out. And in Romania, my father found in our language New Testament for me, my sister, and my cousin.
This was the first Bible that you owned personally.
Yeah, it was my first Bible. And I was so happy, you know, it was my own Bible. And because it was just impossible to get it in Soviet Union, you know. So I was really happy, but not to for a long time, because in 3 days, as we were on the way back home, on the border, officers, they found this Bibles, New Testaments in our suitcases. So they took us out of the train. It was in the night, sometime midnight. So we spent all the night in the office there, in the border office. KGB officers came. So they confiscated everything, not just Bibles, but even all the clothes we had in the suitcases. And all the night they were asking questions, my father, because, you know, they wanted to know all the connections, who is connected with whom, and, you know, all this information. And I was standing outside in the foyer, and I was a young boy, like 8 years old.
Wow.
So all the night spending there in foyer, and all these big, you know, officers were walking right and left, and I was, I don't know why, you know, when I remember, but when I think of myself, I was watching on them, I didn't have any fear. Because I knew the gospel will be preached. We will win. You have power now, but we will have power in the future. We will overcome you. We will win. And you know what? It was in 1987. So in 4 years, Soviet Union collapsed.
So you saw a miracle happening before your eyes.
Oh, yeah. It was an incredible miracle. And you know what? God prepared that big country for the gospel, because people were so hungry. They were so hungry, you know, to listen to the word of God that, you know, we were doing evangelistic campaigns. I mean, my father and I helped him. We just took a piece of paper and with hand, we were just, you know, writing Bible study courses every night on this address. And hundreds of people would come.
Wow.
You know, it was just a miracle. One of the miracles is the is this is evangelistic campaign of Pastor Finley in Kremlin in that time. Imagine that in Kremlin where all the, you know, communistic party, they had their meetings and persecuting and creating ideologies and laws against Christianity. And on that very place, he preached the gospel, and KGB officers were bringing people to take seats there.
Wow.
It was a miracle. Definitely.
Tell me about the journey that led you to sensing the call of God to go into a full-time ministry.
I imagined myself being pastor.
Okay.
Because my father was pastor. But my parents, they taught me that I need to have an education in some other areas too, so that I can work with my hands.
Okay.
Like, you know, the model of Apostle Paul.
The Apostle Paul was a tent maker.
Yes, yes. And that was the model my parents taught me. And then I decided, okay, I continue my music studies. And later I went to study medicine, like being a dentist technician. But you know, what I learned in my life, every time when God bless you, devil is using this as temptation for you.
Like a distraction?
And I remember one day I was driving to a small group of leaders in the church. And that time, and at the same time, I got a phone call from a doctor. Please come as soon as possible to my clinic, because I have a patient here. You need to see the color. You know, we need to choose the color, the right color of the tooth. What should I do? You know, the patient is there, and there are people in the church waiting for me. It was quite complicated. So I took, that was the day where I took the decision, I need to stop with dentist technician.
Vyacheslav chooses Christian ministry over a successful career as a dental lab technician. But soon he'll face another moment of challenge in Austria, one that appears to be a disadvantage for his family. He'll explain in the second part of his interview. Thank you for sending your letters and emails, letting us know how God is using Hope Channel to encourage and strengthen you. Here are just a few letters we've received recently. Here's a note from Steve. He says, I'm writing from the United States of America. I want to reach out and share how grateful I am that God introduced me to your program. I've learned quite a bit so far. Thanks for writing to us, Steve. Here's a note from Yvette. Yvette says, thank you for the wonderful programs on Hope Channel. May God continue to bless you all as you spread His words across the world. To God be the glory. Oh, I love Let's Pray, and so do many viewers. Here's one. Thank you so much for Let's Pray Live, for being a place where you don't have to pray alone. And another, love praying and praising with the Let's Pray family. If you have a testimony to share, don't hide it. Go to hopetv.org/transformed to share your testimony with us. Now, here's Pastor Chris Holland with a story of a man who transformed Christianity forever.
The year was 1510, and a fairly unknown monk and teacher made the decision to make the trip of a lifetime. He decided to make a pilgrimage to Rome. This pilgrimage was, in fact, a business trip. He was there to represent his Augustinian monastery over a dispute of their strict disciplines. He made the 800-mile trek on foot. Martin Luther was awed as he arrived at the holy city. He fell prostrate and cried out, "Be greeted, thou holy Rome, truly holy because of the holy martyrs dripping with their blood." Luther, as a dedicated monk, looked forward to visiting the great shrines around the city and other holy sites. In fact, he visited the graves of 46 popes and cemeteries, which were said to hold the bones of some 80,000 martyrs. But his joy of making this spiritual journey turned rather quickly to disappointment as he observed immorality amongst the priesthood. The opulence of the papal residences compared to the meager dwelling of the monks troubled him. The hurried, almost sacrilegious approach to the Mass. He couldn't even find a father confessor to appropriately hear his confession. But the great experience that he longed for in this journey to Rome was to climb the holy stairs. In Latin, they are called the Scala Sancta. It is a set of stairs that were claimed to have miraculously been delivered to Rome from Jerusalem. It is claimed that Helena, the mother of Constantine, traveled to Jerusalem to obtain holy relics for Rome. There she is claimed to have found the stairs of the Praetorium of Pontius Pilate, the very stairs that Jesus Christ would have climbed during his final hours of life. The stairs are even blood-stained. 28 marble stairs, miraculously, supposedly, transported to Rome. It was taught by the Church of Rome that if you climb these stairs properly on your knees while saying the Our Father on each stair, you could obtain an indulgence for yourself or for someone else who is in purgatory. Luther was determined to obtain that indulgence for his grandfather. History has it that as Luther was ascending those stairs on his knees, he thought he heard a voice, a thunderous voice. And then he listened more intently. And the voice spoke clearly to him, "The just will live by faith." He stood from his kneeling posture and said aloud, "The just shall live by faith." Luther's life was transformed, and he began studying all the passages of the Bible that pointed to Jesus as our great high priest and the justifier of his people. His heart was warmed. He was transformed, and through his writings and leadership, Christianity itself was forever transformed. It was the decision of one man to be faithful to God and his call to be transformed and the calling he had to transform the world. What about you, friend? Are you willing to be used by God to be a transforming presence for him? I hope you are. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, just as Martin Luther was transformed, and then through him, Lord, you transformed the world, may each of us be willing to heed your call and be a tool in the transforming power of the Holy Spirit to reach the entire world with the gospel message. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
It may not be on the mountain's height or over the stormy sea. It may not be at the battle's front, my Lord will have need of me. But if I Jesus would have me speak. There may be now in the paths of sin some wander whom I should see. Oh, Savior, if thou wilt be my guide, though dark and rugged the way, my voice shall echo the message sweet. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, or mountain or plain or sea. I'll say what you want me to say. So trusting my all unto thy care, I know thou lovest me. I'll do thy will with the heart sincere. I'll be what you want me to be. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, for mountain or plain or sea. I'll say what you want me to say.
Earlier in today's program, you met Vyacheslav Demyan. He made a commitment as a child to become a pastor, even while living under the restrictive regime of the former Soviet Union. Now married with two children, Vyacheslav teaches music in Austria while studying to become a pastor. But the enemy continues his attempts to distract Vyacheslav from his promise to God.
To survive there, to have some money for food, you need to get some work. So I worked in the school, but in the school, maximum I could get about 10 euros per hour. It was really top maximum, but at that time, one of the students told me, hey, music school in the city, they need a teacher for saxophone and clarinet.
And that was your instrument.
Yeah, it's exactly what I used to play and teach. And I was thinking, well, it's interesting. They were paying 30 euros per hour. You know, nice. And I really enjoyed that. But you know what? God really blessed us. Through those two last years, we were really blessed by that work. By the end, when I already received a call from Ukraine Union to come back to Ukraine to start and develop media ministry, on that very time, people from that music school and my clients or students, because I had some minors and some, you know, doctors and nurses and policemen and who played saxophone, they told me, hey, we will do everything possible to make all the papers for you and you can stay here. And they asked me, why you go to Ukraine? Are you gonna get more better paid there? And I said, no, it's not about that. I will have just a fraction of that. But why go? And you know, it was so difficult because in that country, we received a lot of benefits from the country for children and health insurance and all the things. And then I saw, wow, where God blessed me, again, devil is using this as like a temptation and to think, oh, maybe you should stay and just enjoy the life. But then we prayed with my wife. I am very thankful to my Lord for my wife. She is a wise woman.
And she's also a committed follower of Jesus, right?
Yeah, yeah. And she was saying to me and we together, hey, it doesn't seem that God blessed us so much to come here, to study here, just to remain here and to continue with music. It doesn't seem logic.
So you went back to Ukraine. You started Hope Channel Ukraine with just a handful.
Yeah.
What miracles did God do over the next 10 or 11 years?
It's really a miracle. Because on the very first day when I started my first efficient day, God blessed us with a major donation. Never we received such a huge amount of donation before or after. Mm. And this donation came from non-Adventists.
Amazing.
Who believed that this needs to be done.
And this channel grew, the media group grew from a handful.
Yeah, from five people.
To 100 and...
And 170, like, you know, staff and volunteers, five studios. And what is important, in that post-communistic country, where Adventist church is not really as powerful, and Christianity is not as really powerful, Hope Channel became the most powerful media ministry through all the Christian ministries. It's just amazing.
Had one experience you shared with me with the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, 2017.
Right. You know, in Ukraine, there are just about 2% of Protestants. The rest are Orthodox and actually atheists.
Okay.
So when 2017 came, all the Protestant churches decided, hey, we need to do something to tell to society who we are. We are not just American sects. We have history. We have heritage. There is a background, biblical foundation for what we believe. So on that time, the leaders of Protestant churches gathered together to decide who will be responsible for what area. And then one of the Baptist leaders, actually, he was even in parliament, one of the political leaders, he mentioned, oh, I need to tell with certain sadness, but we need to acknowledge that our Adventist brothers are most powerful in media ministry. So maybe we should entrust them to lead the media work. So it was amazing, but through all these 2 years, we were leading all the media work of Protestant churches in Ukraine in regard to a Reformation 500th anniversary. And in September 2017, when Reformation Day was celebrated, and Hope Channel was the single Christian broadcaster to broadcast it. Even secular networks rebroadcasted our signal with Hope Channel logo on their social medias.
Wow.
Square, central square in Kyiv, we had more than 400,000 people watching that program and Hope Channel spots. And I thought, God, it's just incredible. It's a miracle. You know, looking at that and around, you are surrounded by all these Stalin buildings, you know, where all the Communist Party had power. Now, Jesus is proclaimed.
That's awesome.
It was amazing.
You've seen not only your life transformed by the power of the gospel, but you've seen countless lives transformed.
Amen.
Now you're here at Hope Channel International as Vice President for Programming. In the last 60 seconds, what's your vision? What would you like to see happen as we prepare the way for the soon coming of Jesus?
I believe if God was able to destroy huge power of USSR in order to proclaim the gospel, this was God's plan. I believe He will make great miracles for Hope Channel to preach the gospel, the three angels messages through this nation and all the world. And I believe that we need to go with linear distribution, television distribution, digital distribution, with films. We need to go through Bible studies, through all the media tools to reach out millions of people for Jesus. And God will do this. It's His mission. It's His miracle, what He is doing. And I'm glad we can be tools in His hands.
I was so encouraged by Vyacheslav's testimony and his faithfulness to God's calling on his life. Satan may use circumstances around you as distractions, but keep your eyes focused on God. Each of us can be instruments in ministry to share the love of God, hope, and forgiveness. Thank you, my friends, for joining me for Transform today. Remember 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. It's a promise. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. May God continue to transform your life.